Welcome to the Designing Hollywood podcast in association with the John Campia Show. I am your host, Robert Meyer Burnett. And this episode is sponsored by Paris Costumes. Designing Hollywood is very honored to welcome today's guest, Jerry Bruckheimer. Perhaps the most successful motion picture and television producer of all time, Mr. Bruckheimer has produced massive film franchises, including Pirates of the Caribbean, National Treasure, Bad Boys, and the Beverly Hills Cop franchises. His collaborations with Michael Bay and Tony Scott gave us iconic blockbusters such as Crimson Tide, Pearl Harbor, Enemy of the State, Armageddon, Deja Vu, The Rock, and many, many more. His other hits include Top Gun, Days of Thunder, Black Hawk Down, Coyote Ugly, Flashdance, and Remember the Titans. In addition, he's produced almost 2,000 hours of television, including the wildly popular CSI franchise, Lucifer, and The Amazing Race. Mr. Bruckheimer's latest film was the highly anticipated sequel, Top Gun Maverick. And without further ado, it is my great pleasure to welcome Jerry Bruckheimer to the Designing Hollywood Show. Mr. Bruckheimer, it is such an honor to have you here, sir.
Thanks, Robert. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm happy to have the opportunity to talk to you.
Listen, I have to say to you, the first time I knew who you were, I was 14 years old. It was 1981, and I had gone to visit my grandparents in Palm Springs, and my grandfather and I went and saw Thief. I had never seen anything like it. And at that time, the home video industry was coming into its own, cable was expanding, and you had an incredible run of films in the early 80s that weren't just movies, but they were sort of pop culture events, beginning in 80 with American Gigolo, but at the same time you had Debbie Harry with a number one hit in Call Me. Cat People in 82, you had David Bowie singing the title track. And of course, Flashdance changed not only films, but movie marketing. The iconic one sheet, the ad for the film had Jennifer Beals in her torn sweatshirt, and it became, again, a fashion icon. And you had said once that a producer's job is to oversee all aspects of motion picture production, including and not limited to marketing and pre-production, everything. And were you aware at the beginning of the 80s that you were doing this, that you were making not just films, but actual pop culture zeitgeist events?
I'm still not aware of it. I'm still trying to get the next movie made and working for the future and hopefully getting some more TV shows on the air. That's our mission.
I mean, you had just a knack, though, for picking projects. And throughout your career, you always had a knack to find things that connected with the public in ways that I don't think any other producer realized. Was this a conscious thing for you?
Not at all. I just try to make both films and television that I want to see. That's really what it's all about. If there's something that excites me, if I read a script or see an idea or read a book or just come across something I'd pay money to go see or spend hours on television watching, we'll try to get it made.
Now, you found yourself, again, in the 80s and even now, with the rise of cable and home video, it sort of mirrors what we have going on with streaming. And obviously your success at the box office and in television has, I think, given you unique insight into where the business has come now. Has your job as a producer changed at all in the intervening years?
Not really. It's really about finding good material and try to get it into either on a screen, in a theater, or in your home. And the good news is, since there are a lot of streamers now, there's more avenues to get your IP or the stories you like seen and bought by people.
Now, one of the things that I find just amazing about what you did with Top Gun, it was during the pandemic that the film had its original release date, and you guys held fast knowing what you had. Was it a hard-fought battle to say, no, look, this has got to go theatrical? There's no way you're going to release it on TV.
Well, Tom Cruise said there's just no chance that this is going to go to streaming. He was adamant. The picture was made for the big screen. It was designed for the big screen. We spent all the time training the actors to be in those jets. It took 4 months so they could handle what they call G tolerance, because they were handling 7, 8 G's, which is 7-8 times your body weight. And it's a big theatrical movie.
Right.
To be seen on a big screen.
And you also design new camera rigs, that getting those IMAX cameras in the cockpits of those of the planes and things like that. How much pre-production and development did you have to put into Top Gun to get it to where you wanted to shoot?
I'll bet you it took close to a year.
Really?
We had cameras made and designed for us. We put 6 cameras in the cockpit of an F-18. Claudio Miranda is our cinematographer. He was instrumental in making that happen, along with Joe Kaczynski, our director. The two of them worked so hard with the Navy to make sure that the cameras were put in there, A, and B, that they were safe.
Yeah, we interviewed for the show your aerial coordinator, and he was he's an amazing guy. And the design of the shots and everything that you guys did, 800 hours of footage, I can't even imagine just the sheer planning that went into something like that. As a producer, how do you begin to, when you're coordinating with the Navy, when you're coordinating with the picture planes and the picture helicopters, how does one start that process?
Well, by hiring good people. You have to hire great line producer, just everybody down the line who you hire, your production managers, all the people that work on the movie, from your costumers to your production designers. If you hire really terrific people, they make you look good.
Sure. And the were you surprised at all by when you watched the movie taking shape? I remember they showed a clip at CinemaCon a couple of years ago, and then last year they showed the entire film. And even 2 years ago, I think the first 10 minutes. When do you know that you have a film that's really working? I mean, Top Gun was, from the very opening frames, man, what an experience.
You don't really know until you show it in front of an audience. You have an instinct that the movie works. You like it. You put it in front of an audience, they tell you a lot of things. And that's when you know you have something that really works. But it's not until the movie opens in a theater after the first weekend, then you know if you have a success or a failure.
It was interesting. Did you test Top Gun at all? Did you test it a lot?
We did. We tested it, I think, a couple times. Tested very well, but it wasn't one of our best testing movies. It was, really a high testing one. But sometimes it's very deceiving. I've had movies that tested higher that nobody came to see. And movies that tested lower that were big hits. So you just never know. Testing can be deceiving, but you learn a lot.
Yeah. Now, was it a daunting task? I mean, I know that there was development on Top Gun for a while, Top Gun Maverick, before it got made. When you had Chris McCrory, you had Kaczynski, you had Tom Cruise together, did you know that when you finally, what made you realize that this was the team, now we're ready to go, now we can make this film?
By the work. It's always about the script. And we had a number of writers. Chris McCrory stayed all through production, was working with us, not only writing, but producing with us. He's done an amazing job. It certainly shows in the movie. And then you have Tom Cruise, who's all over everything. He is the smartest man you're ever going to find as far as making movies. He's a better producer than Oliver B. He's just on every little detail. And the reason is because he's worked with so many talented people, and he's like a sponge. He learns. He wants to learn. Even today, even on the movie, he's always questioning things, trying to expand his knowledge about everything. So he's somebody who loves being on a set, loves working hard, and has great instincts.
When you guys first worked together back in the 80s, did you know then that Tom Cruise was going to become one of the greatest forces in cinema history ever?
You never know, but you have an inkling that how good he was in Top Gun, the original Top Gun. And just the fact that even then he was a sponge. He was trying to learn, always asking questions. And then he goes on to work with some of the greatest directors and writers in our business. So he, again, absorbed all that knowledge, and he uses that every day when he makes the next movie.
Now, the kind of relationship that the two of you have together, how do you guys collaborate? I mean, I'm sure from the very beginning, do you develop the story with him? How do you guys interface on a daily basis in terms of the logistics of making a film?
No, he's in every meeting. He's in every story meeting. He's in every production meeting. He's involved. He's not an actor who just shows up and says, give me the script and I'll read the lines. He's involved. from the casting to the writing to the production, everything that we do, it goes through his filter, and rightfully so. He's earned that right, and he's so value added. He's amazing.
So when you get to say a picture lock on a film like Top Gun, do you then how does a film like that go in from your hands into, say, marketing, the studio? Do you have to then show it to the studio and then you all come up with a plan of attack on how to market the film?
Well, they see the movie when we preview it, and sometimes they see it before. And we always show them sequences, so they're part of everything. And then they'll design, along with Tom and everybody else, a marketing plan and a distribution plan. But Tom is involved in every one of those discussions.
Do you ever think that, like, I mean, when do you know in the process, when you're watching the first dailies that come in? And on this film, I would imagine that it had to have been exciting seeing aerial photography that had never been captured in the way that you guys were doing it. And when you were first getting this stuff in, did you feel that same jazzy feeling that an audience gets when they sat in that theater the first time to watch this movie? Because that point of view shot that they use in all the marketing, where you could see Cruise's face as he takes off from an aircraft carrier, I mean, that was amazing. You know, you can't fake that.
No, it's the way he wanted to make the movie. When we first pitched it to Paramount about 4 years ago, Tom said, we got to hit a bullet with a bullet, and it has to be real. We have to train the actors to be able to withstand the G-forces. And so we spent 4 months training them in various aircraft till they finally got into an F-18, and they could handle it better. But still, it was really grueling. Their stomach churned every time they went up in those planes.
How do you interface with the military for something like this? Do you have to then go and is it a hard sell to them? And what do you have to present to them to get their approval and cooperation?
Well, it was a hard sell the first time. The first time we went to them for the first Top Gun back in '86. Careers are made and lost by mistakes that happen. If something happened on the filming of the first Top Gun, it would be a bad mark on the admiral who approved it. But Tom and I flew to Washington and met with John Lehman, who was the Secretary of the Navy. And he understood the value of a movie like this. And fortunately for us, he removed the admiral that was at North Island, who was head of Top Gun school at the time, not the head of the school, but the head of the base there. And gave us somebody who was very friendly to filming, even though then they were a little bit frightened. But what happened after the movie came out, the recruiting went up 500%. Well, so the second time around, it was much easier to work with them. They bent over backwards like they did the first time to help us. Look, once you get past all the administrative things and work with the pilots and the technicians and the crews and public relations, they're fantastic. All the way through the process, they're just amazing. The admiral of the base was had open arms for us. We just had a terrific time working with them. And the most important thing for them was to show the Navy the way it is, not the way you think it is. The diversity of the Navy, the diversity of the pilots, the amount of women that are flying now and also in the Top Gun school. So it's really interesting how the Navy has changed over the last 35 years.
Well, speaking of that, one of the great things about this film too is your cast of pilots, the new recruits. What a great group of actors you put together. Was that a long process to find everyone?
Sure. We told the actors when they came in that they were going to have to fly and they have to get up in the F-18s. And we had actors who said, I'm afraid of flying. I'm sorry, I can't do it. Wow. So every actor that agreed to do this movie knew they were in for a long pre-production. They had to go through water survival training, which is enormously difficult in case they had to eject over water. So they were put in cages and blindfolded and thrown in, underwater. They had to figure out how to get out of the cage. It was really difficult for everybody. Tom did it also.
An incredible group of actors. Did it ever worry you, though, when they had to undergo this strict training? I mean, how does that work with SAG? Do you have problems with the union?
No, everybody was fine. The actors enjoyed it. A lot of them became pilots afterwards. They were a great group, and Joe Kaczynski and Tom and Chris, who helped with the casting also, just everybody made great choices.
Were you surprised by the enormous success of the film and how many, I have to tell you, I have had very few experiences in a theater like I've had watching this movie, because I think maybe people coming out of the pandemic, my God, hooting and hollering and clapping and crying when you bring Val Kilmer back. And it was incredible. And I wanted to ask you, was bringing Val Kilmer back, which is one of the most emotional moments of last year, was that something that was always part of the script?
Well, Tom said, I'm not making the movie without Val. And Val came up with the idea for the character. Wow. So that's something that he and Tom and Chris and Joe worked on. Joe, you know, spent enormous amount of time in the technical aspects and then working with the actors to get performances. And so it was really a group effort to get the picture to where it ended up when we finally put it in the theaters.
Well, I mean, it's an amazing film. Now, you also have the new Beverly Hills Cop film coming up, Beverly Hills Cop Axel Foley, which is revisiting another one of your great iconic films of the 80s. And I think a lot of the audience is really excited for that. I saw today on Deadline, your director just got representation, great representation. And I got to tell you, Beverly Hills Cop's one of my favorite films of the 80s. And I'm very excited. How is there anything you could tell us about that?
Well, Eddie's back and he's funnier than ever and he looks fantastic. And he's a great dramatic actor. And also, as you know, there's nobody better at comedy than Eddie Murphy. So he's back to his antics.
And I'm curious, you know, one of the great things about Beverly Hills Cop is the music. What an iconic score, Neutron Dance, things like that. Are you seeking out? Are we gonna hear that kind of iconic music again, updated to the 2020s?
I think so. I mean, that's the plan. We're still in the editor's cut right now, and we haven't actually picked a lot of the music. But I'm sure that we're planning on using some of the iconic songs and also score that we used in the original.
I can't. Is Harold Faltermeyer going to come back?
No, not this. Well, we're using his tune.
Sure.
We have Lauren Bamf, who worked with us on Bad Boys and also Top Gun.
Oh, which is great. That score is great. His work is incredible. Moving forward, I mean, are you the theatrical experience? You had Steven Spielberg just say, at least in the press, told Tom Cruise that you brought back the theatrical experience with Top Gun Maverick. Are you optimistic about the future of theatrical movie going?
Absolutely. It's up to us as filmmakers to make things that people want to spend money and leave their homes. You know, you have a kitchen, but you still go out to eat. So there's always the experience that you want to have with a group. Top Gun proved it. I was in the Chinese theater when the picture opened. I went there the entire weekend and stood in the back and watched people clap and applaud applaud and cry and laugh. And that's a great experience for me as a producer to watch something that we worked on so hard and so long for an audience actually to enjoy it. And that's all we make it. We make it for audiences. And that's Tom's main mission, is to entertain audiences. That's what he wants to do.
Is there any film that you haven't been able to make, a dream project that you still plan on making?
We have about, 35 projects in development all the time, and those are things we want to get made. And some move along quickly and some move along slowly. But that's how we try to push these big boulders up the mountain. Some fall back on you and some keep going. Look, it took 35 years to push the Top Gun boulder up the mountain. So we finally got there.
Well, listen, Mr. Bruckheimer, I want to thank you so very much for your time. I've been a huge fan, as I said, all the way back since I saw Thief. And I very much appreciated everything you've done over the last years. And I think I own a great deal of your movies in my own personal video collection, which I still believe in physical media. I hope you do, too, because
it's
important. Well, thank you very much for your time.
And thank you. Thanks, Robert. Thanks for your time. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being on the Designing Hollywood podcast.
Sure. Pleasure.
And a special thanks to our sponsor, Paris Costumes. Paris Costumes has been a part of the history of the European theater, film, and television industry since 1856 and has become 21st century tailors. A special thank you to founder and executive producer Martika Ibarra, co-founder, costume designer, the legendary Marilyn Vance, and of course, John Campia from The John Campia Show. Our technical director is Taylor Gonzalez. Thank you to all of our viewers for tuning in, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tune in to the audio version wherever you listen to podcasts. I am, of course, your host, Robert Meyer Burnett, and you can find me on Instagram at rmburnett, or find me on Twitter at burnettrm, or on YouTube at postgeeksingularity. Thanks very much. Like, subscribe, and give us your comments. What would you like to see on the channel? Right down below. Thanks very much for watching, and we'll see you on the next episode of Designing Hollywood.